Exodus chapter 14 is where we'll have some selected scripture reading from this morning. And if you'd follow along with me, we're not going to read straight on through, but we're going to read several different verses and make some comments later on. Exodus chapter 14, and this morning we're thinking about God's deliverance and God's provision. Okay? 14, verses 1 through 3. And Moses spake, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp, and I'm going to skip down, before the sea, or by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, in verse 3, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. Skipping down to verse 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them, encamping by the sea. We'll skip those things because I'm not good at that. But then in verse 10, And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Verse 14, The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Down in verse 19. And the angel of the Lord, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and all his horsemen. And now down to 27. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the water of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. A great deliverance. Chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness, and they found no water. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed, in verse 25, excuse me, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet, and there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do all, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and will keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Chapter 16, verses 2 through 4. And the whole congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died in Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill this whole congregation and assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Verse 13 through 15. And it came to pass at even that the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not, or didn't know what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came into a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now, as always, God will bless his word because he's promised to do that in the reading of it. And so this morning, we're thinking about God's deliverance, which we've read of, and also his provision. And our lessons have been about, as we've been going through the scripture, about the children of Israel and their exodus of the land of Egypt. And in this short time in this reading, we've read about one of the great events, how God has dealt with his people down through the course of time and has delivered them and also provided for them in spite of their grumblings and everything else that went along with it. And this happened probably some 1,500 years, even before the greatest gift, the greatest deliverer would come, the very incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth and this sin-sick earth, and living a spotless life for some 30 years, and then giving himself as a lamb without blemish and without spot, he would go to the cross, that old rugged cross that we like to sing about many times, to provide a deliverance for all of mankind, not just for his chosen people, but for all of mankind, for you, for me, for this whole world, and would make that way, that deliverance from sin, and make a provision for both time and for eternity. His provision for the children of Israel was a rather temporal thing, and it was good for 40 years, but the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is his God's provision to each one of us who will take hold upon that gift that he offers to each one. Now, I'm not just sure what brought you here this morning. But I know whatever it is that God can work in our lives as we allow him. Some may have come because of its habit, and some habits are good. Coming to church, that's a good habit. Coming to meet with God's people, good habit. But you know, sometimes we get very complacent in ho-hum. And we say, yeah, I guess we're going, and oh yeah, we're going to have another message, and maybe there'll be something there. And get, you know, someone has said, you get out of something what you put into it, you know. And so if you come with the attitude that, oh well, it's just another Sunday morning, ho-hum, I'm going to go home and eat, and after that. But if you come expectantly and ask the Lord to give you something, he'll do just that. And so if you've come out of habit, God can replace our complacency with expectation. Or perhaps you've come this morning and you're discouraged, and that happens to all of us. Maybe things haven't worked out right on the job or the finances or whatever it could be, relationships. We're discouraged. God can change even that discouragement and that sadness, and he can turn it into joy. Or perhaps you've come this morning and you're searching because there's something in your life that isn't there. There's an emptiness. There's some void. There's a void in your life that you know needs to be filled. And yet you're really not sure what that void is. Well, I'm not sure what your situation is, but if you have that void and you're searching and you're wondering what life is all about, I can say this morning that God can turn even that emptiness and that void into something that's full and something that's running over. Like David said, his cup was running over because of the joy of the Lord that was in his life. And so he can fill that void with fullness, fulfillment, and contentment. And so whatever you've come with this morning, God can take care of it and he can help you out. See, the problem with us men and women, boys and girls, is the fact that we were created for God and for his purposes. And therefore, there's this desire that we have, whether we realize it or not, to be right with God and in a right relationship with him. But there's a problem, and that problem is sin. And we've learned about that as we've gone down through these lessons. Bible talks about it in Romans 5 and 12. It says, wherefore as by one man, and we've studied about Adam, that's what we're referring to, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. And this is the thing that separates us from God. It's sin. It's missing the mark of God's righteousness and his holiness. And we've missed the mark. And we've sinned. Adam, first man, and all down through history, all are sinners. And so sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And the scripture bears that out in other verses too, that we're all sinners, whether we like to admit it or not. This sin brought separation from God, because God's holy and he's just. And sin has no business in his presence. And while he loves the sinner, both you and me, he hates sin. And that's scary in a way. Not in a way, that's scary. Because I wouldn't want to be hated for the things that I do, in the sense of never being forgiven. And so, by God. Imagine being hated by God. Not us personally, but our sin. And one day, this righteous and just God will punish sin, will take care of sin, the sin question, and punish sinners for both time and for eternity. You know, the children of Israel that we read about this morning, they found themselves in the jaws of sin. Because when you read about Egypt in the scriptures, it talks about and it depicts a place of sin. The children of Israel were in a place of sin, and there was no way out for them. They couldn't get out on their own. Try as they might, how could they get away from Pharaoh? They couldn't. And the only way they got out was when they cried out to God and asked God for a deliverance. And God did just that. And the Bible says that God led them out with a mighty hand. Talks about that in Deuteronomy in chapter 9. He led them out with a mighty hand. It wasn't just, okay, on your way, you know, hop in and go. It wasn't that at all. It was a mighty hand that delivered the children of Israel out of that land of depicted as sin. And I want to say this morning that we, like the children of Israel, mankind, all humanity, is in the grips and in the jaws of sin, and we're unable to help ourselves. But the good news is, and it's always to have good news and something like that, is that God's still in the business of taking men and women, boys and girls, and delivering them from the power of sin and death. Now, if you're here this morning and you're the one who has the void, I don't know your hearts, all of yous, I don't know where you stand before God, but if you're here this morning and you have that emptiness, knowing that there's something more in life, hoping that relief from this guilt of sin in your life could be removed, there is good news. And it would be our desire and joy if you would turn from them sins and come to the Savior and receive forgiveness of sins. One of my most, probably the favorite verse of mine, an easy one that we've all learned maybe from little up if you've been associated with Sunday school, is John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved." And there's so much included in that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. And that's what this is all about. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Freedom from guilt, freedom from sin, everlasting life with God. Not separation, but togetherness. In the next verse, the 17th verse says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." That wasn't the purpose of the Lord Jesus coming at all, not to condemn it, but rather that he sent him into the world that the world through him might be saved. What a work. What a God. What an awesome God. We sing about that used to young people, still too sometime. Our God is an awesome God. And he is. How he could give his Son for us that we might be in a right relationship with him. Romans 5:8 says that he did this even while we were yet in our sins. For it says, "For God commendeth his love towards us, even though while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It wasn't that we were good and he could see that we'd be good, so he decided that it would be okay if he died for us. No, we were sinners and we were lost. We were on our way to hell. But God gave his Son that we might live forever. And so in these verses, we see how that through God's grace and his love, even though sin has separated us, Christ paid that penalty to bring us back to him and to renew that one-time fellowship that Adam had, the one man that brought sin into the world, that fellowship that he once had where he walked and he talked with God. Can you imagine walking and talking with God in a perfect environment in the Garden of Eden? What a privilege Adam and Eve had. But you know, sin is the burden that keeps us down. And God can, and he's more than willing to take that burden from us that might be in your life this morning. The children of Israel had a burden too, you know. It was a physical burden, but still, it depicts the situation of mankind. And they were burdened down with their work, with the slavery that they were in. But it said that God did deliver them with that mighty hand. You know, it's an interesting thing as we think about God and how he created everything. The Bible speaks how that he created the sun and the moon and all these things and with his fingers, you know, like finger play. But when it came to salvation, when it came to saving the children of Israel out of Egypt and bringing them out, it took a mighty hand. And then Isaiah tells us that that's gone from my mind, but it was with a mighty arm. I have to turn to him. Isaiah 53. Okay, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" You know, it was the arm of the Lord that it took to bring salvation. It wasn't just an easy thing for God to send his Son. It wasn't just something that came lightly, but it was the work of the arm of the Lord. Jesus said too, he said to all you who, or to all of us who were still outside of his love and grace, he says, if we would just confess our sins, you know, it's not a hard thing. God hasn't asked us to do a hard thing or something that's beyond our capabilities. He says, if you'll confess your sins, that he's faithful. Well, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and then you believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with our mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not could be saved, hope you'll be saved, do some good works and you'll get saved. It's believe, receive, be saved. So it's easy, and but not for the Lord. It wasn't easy for him. It required his gift or his sacrifice on the cross for us. But perhaps this morning we're here and discouraged. Okay? Sadness reigns within as we look to Christ, see all he's done for us, and take our eyes off of ourselves, because that's what seems to be the big problem in life, is we think about all the problems that I have and not really recognizing all the blessings God has given us. You know, the guy said he felt bad about himself and sorry for himself because he didn't have any shoes, and until he saw a guy with no feet. And so then that wasn't an issue, the no shoes. And I think that's the situation we get into lots of time. We say, poor us, or poor me, or a little bit of self-pity. But let's get our eyes off of ourselves and onto the Lord. And he'll take that discouragement. He'll take that sadness from us. Because basically, we become discouraged because we don't feel that we're getting what we should get. Or we haven't gotten what we deserve. And it's I type thing. And we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto the Lord. And he'll take that discouragement and he'll give us contentment. And as we realize that he said that, I'll never leave thee, the Lord Jesus says, I'll never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But some of us are here, as can be quite easily, we're come with complacent. We're a little bit lethargic. It creeps into our lives. What we need to do is think of us as believers in our position in Christ. Who are we in him? You know, God gave the children of Israel bread and water for 40 years, all that provision for them. But you know, as a believer, God's given us his word. This is his word, the Bible. You know, think of it. This is what God is speaking to us. All we got to do is read it. And he's given us his word. He's given us his spirit to dwell within us for all time and for eternity. I'd suggest that as we think of that, let's turn to Romans chapter 8 and read some verses that would take us perhaps out of our complacent attitude and thoughts. Romans chapter 8. This chapter is filled with great stuff. And just let's read verse 16 through 18 there as we consider all that God has done for us and all that we have in him. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation... I started too soon. Verse 16, let's back up. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Okay, think about that. We're an heir of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, so if be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And how about verse 28? This has been a good verse for Linda and I down through our life in Romans chapter 8. And it says that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What a thing to know, that as believers, as those who are in God's will, that the things that happen in our life are not surprises, and they're the will of God. How about verses 31 through the end of the chapter, where it says, And what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who's he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, distress, persecution, or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, life, nor angels, principalities, or powers, things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God, right? I mean, if you're discouraged this morning, get a hold of this, because this ought to boost you up and give you something to be encouraged about. Or if we're lethargic, let's get excited about the things of the Lord. Let's come expectantly asking God to give us something, because all things are ours in him, and nothing can harm us. Our great God has given all who would believe and all who would receive his Son deliverance, which we've been thinking about a little bit this morning, deliverance from sin, deliverance from death, because death spiritually is separation from God. Oh, you may be alive this morning and breathing, but I tell you what, if you're without Christ, you're dead, and you're lost and on your way to hell, because that's the other thing, he's delivered us from hell. And you know, hell is an unpopular subject. You don't hear too much about it, but I'll tell you what, it's a real place, and I wouldn't want to be there. And I don't think you'd want to be there either if you really believe in it. And if you believe God's word, you'd believe in hell, because he talks more about hell than he does heaven. It's a place, the Bible says, where the fire isn't quenched, nor the worm dieth not. And I'll tell you, some people kid around and say, oh, that's okay, I'll be there with all my friends. Well, I don't think so, because your friends may be down there, but you're not going to have a fellowship with them. You're going to be alone. You're going to be by yourself. And you're not going to be without memory of knowing and realizing that I could escape from this thing. I think about Lazarus and the beggar, you know. He sat outside the gate. He'd be willing to take anything that the rich man would have given. Not Lazarus. Lazarus. Yeah. But the rich man is what I meant to say. And he sat at the rich man's gate and been glad to take anything that he could have got. But they both died. And this morning, each one in this room is going to die at some point in time in our life, unless the Lord comes. And from hell, from Sheol, the rich man cried out to Abraham, Father Abraham, who Lazarus was in his bosom and just wanted a drop of water in his tongue. A little depiction of what hell might be like. But he couldn't, because there was a great gulf fixed. There was no way of changing at that point. And that's why we need to be sure that what we do with our with Christ happens in time and eternity in our lives, because it's too late when we're gone. Unless we receive that free gift of salvation, each one will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. and it'll be eternally too late. The request, I can't think of the right word, the desire of each of our hearts who know Christ as Savior is that you, if you're here this morning, outside of Christ, is that you would come and receive Him as your Savior while it's still time. 1 Peter states that God is long-suffering and He's not willing that any should perish. That's not God's will, that men and women, boys and girls, would go to a lost eternity. But that all should come to repentance. Now, the hymn writers put it very nicely for those who would consider coming to Christ. He said, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And just as I am, thou wilt receive," we don't have to do anything to make ourselves better, "will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." And so as we conclude our time this morning, it would be wonderful if you, if you're lost and outside of your sin, you know, I came to this chapel a long time, for 17 years, and I had everybody fooled that I was a Christian, but I wasn't, you know. So you need to search your heart and know for sure that you're in God's family and that you're saved. And it's not a hard thing to do. And so if you would just agree with God that you're lost and on your way to that lost eternity in hell, believe that He died for you, that He loves you, and that He wants to save you, you can have life eternal. It's as simple as that. It's not hard. And this morning, if as a believer we're complacent, let's ask the Lord to forgive us of that and rather come expectantly and look for something for God that God has for us, that in our life here on earth we can please Him until He comes. And if we're discouraged, let's just ask God for some encouragement, recognizing that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll always provide for us in whatever situation.